This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to the continuation of our explanation of the book Bidayatul Abid wa Kifayatul Zahid by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in our previous majalis, we've gone through Kitab al-Janaiz. We've gone through Kitab al-Salah and before that, the matters pertaining to Tahara walhamdulillah. In this majlis, insha'Allah, we go through Kitabu al-Zaka, walhamdulillah. Kitabu al-Zaka, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, what are some of the discussion points in this book? We obviously will be discussing upon whom is Zakah an obligation. Is it every Muslim out there, no matter what their situation? The answer is no. There are certain preconditions you need to meet. Only then will Zakah be an obligation upon you. What are those conditions? We will discuss. Upon what types of wealth? Everything that I own, do I pay zakah on it? The answer is no. There are zakatable assets and non-zakatable assets. Well, what are those zakatable assets? We will discuss. What if I have debts? Do I wipe out those debts first in my zakah calculation? We will discuss. Zakah on livestock. So Brother Salman, he owns 50 camels and 200 sheep. He's not selling them. He loves to look at them morning, evening and night. What type of zakah does he pay? What amount does he pay? The individual who has cattle, the one who has sheep and goats, zakah on livestock. Then there's also zakah on your grain, on your dates, these produce, kharij min al-ard, we will discuss. There's zakah on athman, which is familiar to most of us, zakah on your gold, zakah on your silver, on your rands, your dollars, your pounds, etc. How do I calculate my zakah here? What do I pay zakah on? What percentage do I pay zakah? We will discuss insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Then we move on to zakah of the badan, zakah on the body, not necessarily the wealth, zakah on the badan. And that is zakatul fitr, which we pay towards the end of Ramadan. Who do we pay it to? When do we pay? We will discuss bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the author states, Kitabu zakah, the book of zakah. What does zakah mean linguistically and legally? Linguistically, it means nama, ziyada, increase. Subhanallah, you pay zakah and not decrease, but rather you will have an increase in your wealth. Number two, what is the legal definition of zakah? It is haqqun wajib, it is a haqq, it is a right, it is wajib, an obligation, a pillar of al-Islam. Where? Fi malin makhsus, upon specific types of wealth. Upon wealth, take note, it's not zakah on the body. This is zakah on the wealth. The recipient of zakah is not interested whether you are sane, whether you are baligh, whether you are old, whether you are young, irrelevant to them. They state that they have a haq on your wealth. And so, according to the madhab and majority of the scholars, zakah is due upon the wealth of the kid, zakah is due upon the wealth of the insane, upon the one who is senile, etc. Haqqun wajib fi malin makhsus, upon specific types of wealth. There are zakatable assets and non-zakatable assets. What are those zakatable assets? We will discuss insha'Allah. لِطَائِفَةٍ مَخْصُوصًا, for a specific group of recipients. Who are those recipients? 8 categories of them mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 60. The 8 categories we will be discussing, insha'Allah. Fi waqtin makhsus, at a specific time. Not every day, not every week, not every month. Rather once a year. And what year? It's the lunar year. There's a difference in the number of days between the lunar cycle and the solar cycle, and so we operate upon the lunar cycle, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the author states, شُرُوط وُجُوبُهَا خَمْسَةُ أَشْيَا, that its obligation has five prerequisites. For zakat to be an obligation upon you, there are five prerequisites. What are they? Number one, al-Islam. You need to be Muslim. Number two, freedom. You need to be a free individual. Then the author states, لَا كَمَالُهَا, but not complete freedom. And so, the مُبَعَض, the one who is half free and half slave, this individual also has to pay zakah in accordance to the degree of their ownership. If they, number three, possess the nisab, the person who owns nisab, so you must be Muslim, you need to be free. Number three, you need to own the nisab. What is this nisab? Nisab is a minimum amount of wealth that you need to have for zakah to be an obligation upon you. So I have $1. Zakah is not an obligation upon you, brother. $10, not an obligation upon you. There's a minimum, there's a quantum that you need to reach. And if you are floating above that, then zakah will be an obligation upon you. Milk and nisab, so owning the nisab. Milk at-tam, full ownership over this nisab. You need to have full ownership over it. And so what does this exclude? This excludes circumstances where you don't really have full ownership. Example, we have a waqf. We have a waqf, for example. And this waqf here is for the memorizers of the Noble Quran. And there's $1 million in that account. Does anyone own this? Do I own it? Do you own it? We might be trustees, but we are not owners of it. And so it doesn't have any owner. It does not have any owner. It's all for those who memorize Quran. It's all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's no zakah to be paid here. And similarly, a masjid might have $1 million in its bank account. Does it have any specific owner or owners? The answer is no. And so that money is not zakatable. The money in the Baytul Mal is also not zakatable. The state treasury, etc. Why? Because all of that wealth, not just 2.5%, is for Allah's sake and for the betterment of the Muslims. All of it, 100%, is for Allah and for the benefit of the Muslims. Walhamdulillah. So you need to have full ownership of this wealth. وَتَمَامُ الْحَوْلِ, and the annual cycle must also pass. وَتَجِبُ فِي مَالِ الصَّغِيرِ, فِي مَالِ الصَّغِيرِ وَالْمَجْنُونِ. Zakah is also an obligation upon the wealth of both the young and the insane. So there's no condition that you need to be baligh, there's no condition that you need to be aqil, etc., etc. Excellent. Then, upon what is zakah an obligation? Upon the individual, we spoke about the conditions. Now, what types of wealth? وَهِيَ فِي خَمْسَةِ أَشْيَاءَ, five types of wealth. سَائِمَ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ, free grazing, important. Free grazing, important. Free grazing for majority of the year. So as for the animal that you feed and you provide it food, etc., there's no zakah due upon that animal. So free grazing, number one. Number two, it is from Bahimatul An'am, so your camels, your cow, your bull, your goats, your sheep, etc. These Bahimatul An'am. So number one, it needs to be free grazing. Number two, it must be from these types of animals, insha'Allah. And remember, this is now Salman, who's got 500 camels and 400 sheep. He looks at them, he loves them, he drinks from the milk every now and then. He might slaughter one to provide for his family, but he's not selling them. As for the individual who's selling these animals, then the animals fall within the category of trading stock. Just like if he's selling books and if he's selling paper and he's selling pens, that all fall within the category of trading stock. Here we're talking about not for sale. Excellent. So the author states, وَخَارِجْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, and the produce of the earth, وَالْعَسَلْ, honey, وَالْأَثْمَانِ, and your gold, your silver, your currencies, etc., and عُرُوض التِّجَارَ, and trading stock. So those five there, that's what we pay zakah upon, walhamdulillah. Some scholars include the asal, the honey, within the category of kharij min al-ard, within the category of that which is from the earth, masha'Allah. The author then moves on, وَشُرِطَ فِي بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. Now he discusses at length the matters related to zakah on camels, zakah on cows, zakah on your sheep and goats, inshallah. وَشُرِطَ فِي بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ أَنْ تُتَّخَذْ لِلدَّرِّ وَالنَّسَلِ وَالتَّسْمِينِ. And the condition regarding livestock is that they are for milking, breeding, for pasturing, but not for labor. If you are using these 10, 20, 50 cows to plow the ground, plow the land, you are using these camels to ride them, it's your means of transport, then there's no zakah due upon them. That's why we said Salman, he has 50 camels and 400 sheep. He just loves to look at them. He loves to own them. He drinks from the milk, walhamdulillah. He has them for breeding and he has them for milking. Here zakah is due. But if you're using them, then zakah is not due. Excellent. That they graze in permissible fields for most of the year, majority of the year, free grazing, and that they reach the nisab. وَشُرِطَ فِي بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ أَنْ تُتَّخَذْ لِلدَّرِّ وَالنَّسَلِ وَالتَّسْمِينِ لَا لِلْعَمَلِ, not for work. وَأَنْ تُرْعَى الْمُبَاحِ أَكْثَرُ الْحَوْلِ وَأَنْ تَبْلُغَ النِّصَابِ. And that they reach the nisab. I have one camel. I love to look at it, I drink its milk, I do not ride it, I do not use it for work. Do I need to pay zakah on it? No. Two camels? No. Three camels? No. Four camels? No. Five camels? Yes. Now I have reached the nisab. And so the author states, the nisab with regards to the camels, فَأَقَلُّ نِسَابِ الْإِبِلِ خَمْسٌ وَفِيهَا شَا وَفِي عَشَرَ شَاتَان وَفِي خَمْسَةَ عَشَرَ ثَلَاثُ شِيَا وَفِي عِشْرِينَ أَرْبَعُ شِيَا وَفِي خَمْسٍ وَعِشْرِينَ بِنْتُ مَخَاضٍ وَهِيَ الَّتِي لَهَا سَنَةٌ وَفِي سِتِّ وَثَلَاثِينَ بِنْتُ لَبُونَ وَهِيَ الَّتِي لَهَا سَنَتَانِ وَفِي سِتِّ وَأَرْبَعِينَ حِقَّةٌ وهي التي لها ولها ثلاث سنين وفي ست وسبعين بنت لبون وفي إحدى وتسعين حقتان وفي مئة وإحدى وعشرين ثلاث بنات لبون وفي كل أربعين بنت لبون وفي كل خمسين حقة والحمد لله. The lowest nisab for camels is 5. If you have 5 camels, once you reach 5 and 1 year passes over this, then you need to pay zakah as 1 sheep. 1 sheep is due. That is what is due, inshallah, 1 sheep. For 10 camels, there are 2 sheep. For 15, there are 3 sheep. It could be a sheep, could be a goat. For 15, there are 3. And for 20, there are 4. For 25, there is a 1-year-old she-camel. For 36, there is a 2-year-old she-camel. For 46, there's a 3-year-old she-camel. For 76, there are 2 2-year-old she-camels. For 91, there are 2 3-year-old camels. And from 121, there are 3 2-year-old she-camels. And for every 40 thereafter, there's 1 2-year-old she-camel. And for every 50, there is 1 3-year-old she-camel. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, that covers the zakah pertaining to camels. Walhamdulillah. We move on bi-ithnillahi ta'ala to the cows and the sheep. And so the author states, وَأَقَلُّ نِسَابِ الْبَقَرِ ثَلَاثُونَ. What's the nisab? What's the minimum for cows, for bulls? The minimum is 30. You need to have 30. So if I have 25 cows, any zakah? No. 27? No. 30? Yes. Well, if I have 30, what is the zakah? What's the amount due? وَفِيهَا تَبِيعٌ وَهُوَ مَا لَهُ سَنَةٌ. Then what you need to pay is a 1-year-old bull. A 1-year-old bull, that is what is due from you if you have 30 bulls or 30 cows. وَفِي أَرْبَعِينَ مُسِنَّ لَهَا سَنَتَانَ وَفِي سِتِّينَ تَبِيعَانَ وَفِي كُلْ ثُمَّ فِي كُلِّ ثَلَاثِينَ تَبِيعٌ وَفِي كُلِّ أَرْبَعِينَ مُسِنَّ. The minimum nisab for cows is 30, for which there's a 1-year-old bull due. For 40, there's a 2-year-old heifer. For 60, there are 2 1-year-old bulls. For every 30 thereafter, there is a 1-year-old bull. And for every 40 thereafter, there is a 2-year-old heifer. We've covered now the zakah pertaining to cattle. Now he moves on to zakah upon the sheep and the goats. وَأَقَلُّ نِسَابِ الْغَنَمْ أَرْبَعُونَ. What's the minimum? What's the nisab? It is 40. وَأَقَلُّ نِسَابِ الْغَنَمْ أَرْبَعُونَ وَفِيهَا شَاءٌ مِنَ الْمَعِزِ لَهَا سَنَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ أَوْ جَذَعَ مِنَ الضَّأْنِ لَهَا سِتَّةَ أَشْهُرٍ. The minimum nisab for goats or sheep is 40, for which there is either a 1-year-old kid or a 6-month-old lamb, which you pay. وفي 121 شاتان. And then the next option is when you have 121. So 121, then there are 2 which are required. So subhanAllah, someone has 40 sheep, he pays 1 sheep as zakat. He has 50, 1 sheep. He's got 100 sheep, he still pays 1. He's got 119 sheep, he still pays 1 sheep as zakat. He's got 120 sheep, now you need to pay 2 sheep as zakat, inshaAllah. وفي 231 شياء. And when there's 121, there's 2 sheep. Could be 2 sheep or it could be 2 goats. For 231, there are 3. For 400, there are 4. And every 100 thereafter, there is 1. And then the author states, combining the 2 properties based on its terms renders them as 1. والخطط بشرطها تصير مالين كالمال الواحد. That, for example, we have 2 individuals and the animals stay together and they are always together. Then in reality, you know, these 2 individuals, this guy's got a certain number of sheep and this guy's got a certain number of sheep. And then so we regard it as one number. We regard it as being together. And there's conditions with regards to when we regard them as being together. And so the author states, if the conditions are met, then we will regard it as the wealth of one. So this guy's got 20 and the other guy's got 20. So now together, the sheep are all together all the time. And so they have now reached the nisab, walhamdulillah, together. We move on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Faslun. تجب الزكاة في كل مكيل مدخر. Now the author moves on to الزكاة of the خارج من الأرض, that which is yielded from the earth. تجب الزكاة في كل مكيل, in everything which is measured in volume. مكيل is a measure of volume, whereas kilograms, pounds, this is a measure of weight. So we are talking about that which is measured in volume, not today. Today most items are measured in kilograms, but we're talking about during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this item, according to the urf of Medina, it was an item which was measured and sold as volume. Number 2, it must be muddakhar. It must be something that can be stored. So it's not apples, it's not tomatoes, it's not potatoes, it's not your watermelons. These are not zakatable. Why? Because number 1, they are not sold during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in volume. And number 2, they're not something that can be stored a year, 2 years, 3 years, etc. مُدَّخَر مِنْ حَبَّ مِنْ قُوتَ الْبَلَدْ وَغَيْرِهِ. Zakah is an obligation upon every measured and stored item such as grain, staple food. He states that it is فَتَجِبُ فِي كُلِّ الْحُبُوبِ كَالْحِنْطَ. It's an obligation upon grains like wheat, like sha'ir. Sha'ir is not oats, but rather sha'ir is barley. Sha'ir is barley. Wal aruz, rice. Wal himmas, himmas, gabanzo. Wal jalaban, and that's your beans. Wal adas, your pea, your, what's this, your adas, like peas. Wal turmus, turmus, your lentils. Wal kirsana, kirsana, lupines. Wal bazri, al-qutun, wal kitan, the herbals along the cotton, flax, basil, and cucumber seeds, but not for the likes of nutmeg, figs, grapes, nor any other fruits such as apples, pyrus, pears, etc., with 2 conditions. So let's go through them. وبزر القطن والكتان وبزر الرياحين والثق والقثا لا في نحو جوز وتين وعناب ولا في بقية الفواكه كتفاه وأجاص وكمثر ونحو ذلك بشرطين. What are the 2 conditions? Number 1, أن يبلغ نصابا. So this yield from the earth, it must reach the nisab. We are talking about Brother Salman. He's got 10 date palm trees. He's not selling these dates. These date palm trees give him about 1,000 kilograms of dates a year. He eats them. He gifts them to his friends and family. We are talking about this individual now. He has this amount of dates and it is more than the nisab, as we will see. So he needs to pay zakah on them when they harvest. Not once a year, but rather when they harvest. As for Brother Salman's brother, who's only got five date trees, and he's got dates every year which are less than the nisab, but he doesn't keep the dates for himself or gift them. He sells dates. He loves to sell dates, and so all of his dates, they are zakatable, because that's trading stock, and that falls within another category. Not here. That falls within the category of trading stock. Here, our brother Salman not selling them, so he pays zakah on the yield from the earth. Just having these trees and 10 of them, and he gets 1,000 kilograms a year. You need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and you need to pay zakah. Obviously, if all the conditions are met. Number one, it must reach the nisab. And the nisab, this equals plus minus around 500 or rather 653 kilograms. 652.8 kilograms. It should reach ba'da tasfiyah. حب وجفاف ثمر خمسة أوسق والوسق ستون صاعة والصاع خمسة أرطال وثلث بالعراق وهي 342 رطلا وستة أسباع رطل بالدمشق. The author states, and the nisab is 5 أوسق. 5 أوسق in our kilograms. We've mentioned the number, walhamdulillah. So if it reaches this amount, then you need to pay zakah. Second condition, mulkuhu waqt wujubiha, that you need to own it at the time of the harvest. Wa huwa fil habd ishtidaduhu wa fi thamr buduwu salahihi wa la yastaqirru illa fi ja'liha fi baydar wa nahwihi. The second condition is that you need to own it at the time of liability, meaning at harvest, which is when the grains harden and the produce ripens. It is not determined until they are placed on the threshing floor. Once it is all harvested, etc., that's when you have that full ownership over it. How much do I pay? One-tenth. You pay one-tenth is obligatory for what has been effortlessly, no effort. Allah sent down rain, walhamdulillah. You know, it was on the banks of the river and the water was there and it, watered the plants. And so no effort on your part, you need to give 10% as zakah, insha'Allah. But if you were the one who made an effort, you were the one who irrigated it, you were the one who watered it, etc., then here it's only 5%. فَإِنْ تَفَاوَتَ اِعْتُبِرَ الْأَكْثَرَ نَفْعًا وَنُمُوًا وَمَعَ الْجَهْلِ الْعُشْرُ. The author states, one half for what was irrigated with effort, and three quarters for what was irrigated with a combination of the two. Maybe some effort, maybe a little bit of effort, maybe some of the year I watered it, half the year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rain was the one which watered it, etc. So here there's a mixture. If they are equal, consideration is given, so there it's like 7.5%, not 10%, 7.5%. But if they are equal, consideration is given to the method which yielded the greatest benefit and growth. But if you're not sure, did I make an effort most of the year, or was it rain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you in doubt, then you work with one-tenth to be on the safe side, insha'Allah. وَيَجْتَمِعُ عُشْرٌ وَخَرَاجٌ فِي أَرْضِ خَرَاجِيَّةٍ وَهِيَ مَا فُتِحَتْ عُنْوَةً وَلَمْ يُقْسَمُ بَيْنَ الْغَانِمِينَ غير مكة كمصر والشام والعراق. The author states, both the one-tenth, which is this zakah, which is due, and also the land tax, kharaj is a land tax, they are combined for taxable land, that land which has been taken via conquering, etc., and it has not been divided amongst the fighters, the mujahideen, like for example Makkah, like Egypt, like Sham, like Iraq. So here, If kharaj is due, then the land tax must be paid, and over and above that, this zakah must also be paid. Remember, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an is the first to do this kharaj, where the land remains with the owners. The land remains with the owners, and they give, you know, a percentage of the produce as kharaj. And this land, it will remain kharaj land, even if a Muslim buys it. Even if a Muslim buys it, and then this Muslim here, he needs to pay zakah, which we spoke about. He's Muslim, he needs to pay zakah. And also that kharaj tax will still be applicable, inshaAllah. Then the author talks about asal, which is honey. وَفِي الْعَسَلِ الْعُشْرُ سَوَاءٌ أَخَذَهُ مِنْ مَوَاتٍ أَوْ مَمْلُوكَةٍ وَنِصَابُهُ 160 رِطْلًا عِرَاقِيَّةٍ. 1/10 of honey is also due, regardless if it was taken from uncultivated land or from that which is owned. Its nisab is 160 Iraqian rittles, which is about 75 kilograms. About 75 kilograms. Some said 61. Ala kulli hal. Some said 60 something. Some said, some state, no, it's around 75. You can work with, to be on the safe side as a payer of zakah, to be on the safe side, if you work with 61 kilograms, that's the safer option. Why? It's the lower of the two options. And the lower of the two options means that if I've got 65 kilograms of honey, I will pay zakah, and that's the safer thing to do. Walhamdulillah. This is obviously now, I'm not selling this honey. This honey here is for myself and my cousins and my uncles and giving people for free. This is what, you know, I use this honey for. You know, the bees come, mashallah, they produce this honey in my yard, and I get about 65, 75 kilograms, walhamdulillah. The last one here, ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah, وَمَنْ إِسْتَخْرَجَ مِنْ مَعْدَنٍ نِصَابًا بَعْدَ سَبْكٍ وَتَصْفِيَةٍ فَفِيهِ رُبْعُ الْعُشْرِ فِي الْحَالِ. With regards to rikaz, this is rikaz. Whoever extracts the nisab of minerals after smelting and purification is obliged to give 2.5% immediately. This is not rikaz. Rather, this is like your iron ore, etc., from the ground. So this is from the ground. It's the yield of the earth. And so zakah is also due upon this. One has to give 2.5%. Then the next matter is a separate discussion. وَفِي الرِّكَازِ وَهُوَ الْكَنْزِ وَلَوْ قَلِيلًا الْخُمُسِ يُصْرَفُ مَصْرِفَ الْفَيْءِ وَلَا يُمْنَعُ مِنْ وُجُوبِهِ دَيْنٌ. And then the next matter is to do with rikaz. Rikaz is you digging in your yard and you find some buried treasure. This is old buried treasure, etc. Then here there's no minimum nisab. You need to give a fifth of it as fay. You give it to the Baytul Mal, you give it and you spend it in the good for the Muslims. Fi masalih al-Muslimin. So it doesn't go to the 8 categories of zakah only, rather this here has much more general application. This is rikaz, buried treasure, and you've just found it, and so 1/5 you need to give away, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُمْنَعُ مِنْ وُجُوبِهِ دَيْنٌ وَبَاقِيهِ لِوَاجِدِهِ وَلَوْ أَجِيرًا لَا لِطَالِبِهِ. Its obligation is not voided by debt. So the person who found this buried treasure, and you know, you owe people money, here you don't minus your debts. Because this here, you were not expecting it. This is just Allah gave you this treasure, mashallah. So here you do not decrease your debts and pay less. No. You pay 1/5 on the entire object which was found, walhamdulillah. The author states, its obligation is not voided by a debt, and the remainder belongs to its finder, even if they are an employee not hired to search for it. Right, so I'm digging in maybe somebody else's land. I'm digging in somebody else's land, and he hired me to dig up because he wants to build the foundation of his house, and I find this buried treasure. Who does it belong to? The author states, it belongs to you. It belongs to you unless you were hired to look for this treasure. Then obviously the one who hired you, it belongs to him. Walhamdulillah, mashallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. The author now moves on to that which is most relevant to us. That is the Athman. Your rands, your dollars, your gold, your silver. وتجب في الذهب والفضة ربع العشر إذا بلغ نصابا. 2.5% of gold and silver is the obligation if they reach the minimum nisab. What is that nisab? For gold it is 20 mithqal and for silver it is 200 dirhams. What does that equal today in grams? Well, for gold it equals 85 grams of gold. For silver, it's 595 grams of silver. So if somebody has that amount of silver or that amount of gold, then zakah is due upon them. They need to give 2.5%. Walhamdulillah. وَتَضُمُّ أَحَدُهُمَا إِلَى الْآخَرِ فِي تَكْمِيلِ النِّصَابِ. What if I have some gold and some silver, but each one on its own does not reach its nisab? So the gold doesn't reach the gold nisab and the silver amount does not reach the silver nisab. But if I put them together, their value does reach the nisab of the silver. Do I pay zakat? The answer is yes. The author states that you join them together fi takmil and nisab. You combine them together and you pay zakat if both together reach the nisab of the lower of the two. Walhamdulillah. وتضم قيمة عرض التجارة إلى أحد ذلك وإلى جميعه. The value of merchandise can also be combined to one or both of them as well. So you've got some merchandise, but the merchandise on its own doesn't reach the nisab. You've got some silver on its own doesn't reach the nisab. You've got some gold, but on its own doesn't reach the nisab. But if you add all three together, one third, one third, one third, you do reach the minimum nisab of maybe the silver, which is the cheapest nisab, then you need to pay zakah. Walhamdulillah. ولا زكاة في حلي مباح معد للاستعمال أو إعارة. There is no zakat due upon permissible jewelry. Your wife, she's got this jewelry, she's got a ring, a necklace, etc. No zakat due upon all of that. As long as you use it, even if it be once a year, or if you lend it to other women, etc., no zakat due upon that, walhamdulillah. But if you have a vase, if you have a golden cup, if you have a golden bowl, all of these matters here, zakah is due upon them. Why? Because that's not permissible usage. That there is impermissible usage according to the madhab. And so zakah is due upon those, because they are just like having a gold bar, having bullion, gold, etc. Excellent. And so, وَلَوْ لِمَنْ يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ. What if Brother Ilyas, he's got a gold bangle, he's got gold watch, he's got gold glasses, he's got golden bangles. This is Brother Ilyas, haram for him to wear gold. And so we say to Brother Ilyas, you are not supposed to wear this. Nonetheless, now that you've been wearing it and a year has passed, etc., you need to pay zakah on that. But what about my wife? She doesn't pay zakah on her jewelry. Why do I need to pay zakah on my jewelry, Ilyas says? We say because her usage is permissible and your usage is impermissible. You are sinful and you need to pay zakah. غير فارين من zakah. And you shouldn't be a person who's trying to escape and run away from zakah. وَتَجِبُ فِي مُحَرَّمٍ. Zakah is due upon this wealth which is impermissible, which is haram, like this man using this gold jewelry, or he's got these gold cuffs, he's got gold cups, he's got gold plates, etc. She's got gold plates. Not permissible for the guy or the girl, and so they need to pay zakah on that. وَمَعَدِّ الْكِرَاءِ أَوْ النَّفَقَ إِذَا بَلَغَ نِصَابًا. It is obligatory, the author states that, it is also obligatory on impermissible wealth and what is prepared for rental or expenditure if it reaches the nisab. Here we're talking about this type of gold that you are using, haram type of usage. We're not talking about Ilyas robbed the bank, and he's got this $100,000 stolen money, and he's asking whether he needs to pay zakah on the $100,000 or not. We say, brother, not 2.5%, but rather 100% you need to get rid of. Not 2.5, but rather 100%, because that does not belong to you at all. Walhamdulillah. The author then states,
وَيَحْرُمُ أَنْ يُحَلَّ مَسْجِدٌ.
Now, because we spoke about the matters pertaining to gold jewelry, here the author goes into a tangent. He discusses,
because it's an appropriate time,
to talk about what type of gold usage would be permissible. Where can I use gold? Where can I use silver, etc.? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we find that many a times the fuqaha, that, you know, if they are discussing, for example, certain matter like what foods are permissible to eat, what foods are impermissible, one might think he would have a separate chapter dedicated to this matter. Not necessarily. Many fuqaha might discuss these masail when they talk about udhiya, and they talk about the slaughter at the time of Hajj. So here they would also mention these matters. They might discuss hunting, they might talk about what's permissible to drink, what's not permissible to eat, etc. So the author states,
وَيَحْرُمُ أَنْ يُحَلَّ مَسْجِدٌ أَوْ مِحْرَابٌ أَوْ يُمَوَّهْ سَقْفٌ أَوْ حَائِطٌ بِنَقْدٍ وَتَجِبُ إِزَالَتُهُ وَزَكَاتُهُ إِلَّا إِذَا اسْتُهْلِكَ وَلَمْ يَجْتَمِعُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ فِيهِمَا.
It is impermissible to adorn the masjid and the mihrab, as well as to plate the roof or the walls with gold or silver. Haram to do that. It is obligatory to remove it and to pay its zakah, unless it's completely, you know, worn away, it's gone, you can't see it, it was mixed with something else, and, you know, it's not present any longer, and none of it can be collected.
وَيُبَاحُ لِذَكَرٍ مِّن فِضَّةٍ خَاتَمٌ.
It is permissible for the guy to wear a silver ring, which is preferred to be worn off the left pinky finger. On the left hand pinky finger, it can be made from more than a mithqal, so long as it does not exceed the normal custom of how much of silver is in it.
وَيُبَاحُ لِذَكَرٍ مِّن فِضَّ خَاتَمٍ وَلُبْسُهُ بِخِنْصَرْ يَسَارْ أَفْضَلْ وَلَا بَأْسْ بِجَعْلِهِ أَكْثَرْ مِّن مِثْقَال مَا لَمْ يَخْرُجْ عَنِ الْعَادَةِ وَقَبِيعَةُ سَيْفٍ وَحِلْيَةُ مِّن طَقَ.
And also it's permissible to have some silver on the sword's pommel, the belt's decor. Joshan is your armor. وَخَوْذَةٌ, this is your helmet. لَا رِكَابٌ وَلَا لِجَامٌ وَلَا دَوَاتٌ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. And a helmet, but not stirrups, rein, or an ink well, etc. So a little bit of silver allowed for the man in these examples.
وَيُبَاحُ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ قَبِيعَةُ سَيْفٍ.
And from gold, it's also permissible to have a little bit of this gold on the sword's pommel.
وَمَا دَعَتْ إِلَيْهِ ضَرُورًا.
And that which, might be a necessity. So there might be certain circumstances where it would be a necessity for the usage of some gold. It would be allowed.
وَلِنِسَاءَ مَا جَرَتْ عَادَتُهُنَّ بِلُبْسِهِ وَلَوْ زَادَ عَلَىٰ أَلْفِ مِثْقَالٍ.
As for women, they can use gold and silver, you know, whatever is the custom and the norms, etc. Even if it's more than 1,000 mithqal.
وَلِلْرَجُلْ وَالْمَرْأَةُ التَّحَلِّي بِنَحْوِ جَوْهَرْ وَيَاقُوتٍ.
Men and women, they can wear jewelry made out of gems and jewels, no problem at all.
وَيُقَوَّمُ عَرْضُ التِّجَارَةِ وَهُوَ مَا يُعَدُّ لِلْبَيْءِ وَالشِّرَاءِ لِأَجْلِ الرِّبْحِ بِالْأَحَظِّ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَفِضَّةِ.
And the author states, with regards to trading stock, then here trading stock, we work out its nisab. What's its nisab? Its nisab will be the lower of the two values from the nisab of gold and the nisab of silver. And today, most definitely, the nisab of silver is the lower of the two. And so, for our trading stock, I valued it, it comes to 1,000,000. Now the brother asks, well, now what's the standard? What is the quantum? What is the nisab I need to have above? We say, well, the lower of the two, it is silver. How do I get that silver nisab? Simple. Google up the value of 1 gram of silver, whatever your answer, times it by 595, and then you will get the today's nisab value of silver. And so you apply that to your trading stock. Similarly, with regards to the nisab of gold, 85 grams of gold, work out 1 gram of gold, its value today, times it by 85, and you will have your answer. Walhamdulillah.
Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, before we end off this majlis, with regards to our currencies, dollars and rands, and our shares, what nisab do we use for that?
What nisab do we use for that? Because our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam never gave us a nisab for dollars and rands. Rather, the currency that they were using was gold and silver. But today we've replaced them with these currencies, paper currencies. So what nisab do we use? We use, according to the madhab, we use the lower of two, أَحَظُّ لِلْفَقَرَىٰ, and so that would be silver. You will find today the value in dollars for the gold nisab is much higher compared to the value of the silver nisab. And so if we work with the silver nisab, and what would that mean? That would mean more people will be paying zakah, because more people would have that amount in comparison to the gold amount. So more people paying zakah, and so more of the poor, more of the zakah recipients will benefit. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we will continue the rest of the discussion pertaining to zakah in our next majlis. But a few points to take note of. With regards to animals, brother has 50 camels. And during the year, the camels, they gave birth, etc., you know, breeding. And so at the end of the year, he's got 55 camels. He's got 500 camels. He's got 95 camels. They've increased via breeding throughout the year. Does he pay zakah on the amount of camels he had at the beginning of the year, or what he has right now? What he has right now. What about all of those young camels born? Do they have their own cycle? Do I need to give them like ID numbers for each one of them and follow their cycle? The answer is no. They are products and fruits of the original, and so they follow the cycle, the whole of the original. Similar to Brother Adam, he's got a very big business, like, Asda or something, and he's doing a lot of buying and selling, and every day he's above the nisab, billions and millions he's involved in, walhamdulillah. Now, throughout the year, does he need to keep record every day of all of the amounts of money, and so a year from now need to pay zakah on that amount? The answer is no. We say to him that these profits, etc., and buying and selling, these are all products of the original. And so they will follow the cycle of the original, insha'Allah. An example, Brother Adam, 2 days before his zakah calculation, he did a fantastic business deal and made a profit of 500,000. Generally, he had in his bank account 1 million, and now he's got an extra 500,000. 2 days later, does he include this 500,000 in his zakah calculation, even though he's only got it for 2 days? Yes. Why yes? Because they are products, they are fruits of the original business, and so they follow the cycle of the original. As opposed to this brother Adam, he did that deal, 2 days, and so he's got 1.5 million. He's got 1.5 million in his bank account, walhamdulillah. And 1 day before his zakah calculation, his uncle passed away and left him $50,000. His uncle passed away and left him $50,000. This $50,000 here now, this is inheritance. This is not a fruit, it's not a product of his business. So it will not follow the cycle of that business. Here, he can have a separate cycle for this 50,000 which he got via inheritance. If he wants to, which is the better thing to do, is on his date of his zakah payment, look into his bank account. 1.5 million I got via my business, pay zakah on it. 50,000 I got via inheritance, also pay zakah on it, irrelevant when it came in. Alhamdulillah, this is the better thing to do, insha'Allah. But if he wants to have a separate cycle for that inheritance, he can, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, with regards to urud at-tijara, which was our stock in trade, what pricing do we work with? Retail price, wholesale price, or the price to a willing buyer in one go? We could work with the retail price. Fantastic. You will be paying more zakah. Wholesale price makes sense. You could even work with a price that you would give to a willing buyer in one sale. Example, you have a business, you sell books, you retail books. You could work with the retail price. That's the price that, you know, generally you sell, etc. Good to work with that. Can I use the wholesale price? It's a bit cheaper. Yes, you can do that. So let's say I sell, you know, these, let's say, for example, you know, the business at retail price is $1 million. That's the stock in trade. If I had to wholesale all of the stock, it would be 800,000. But if somebody walked in right now and he says, you know what, I will pay you and pay you now a check for everything that you have, I might sell it to him for $750,000. And so I can pay 2.5% as zakah on $750,000, insha'Allah, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, you find sometimes a businessman is working with the cost price. No, brother, you bought it at $5, you are selling it at $50. The market price, you bought it 7 years ago, it's now, the value of this here in the market is now $50. That's the market value, and that's what you are supposed to be paying zakah on, insha'Allah. In my business, the fitting, the fixtures, the refrigerator, the tills, etc., the light fittings, expensive, but do I need to pay zakah on them? The answer is absolutely not. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, when we meet again, we will move on and conclude the matters pertaining to zakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to grant us knowledge which is beneficial, keep us away from knowledge which is not beneficial. An important matter, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, is that generally the fuqaha, the jurists, in the books of fiqh, they are very dry, very bland. They stick to the fiqh issues. You will find the book of riba, they talk about the types of riba, categories of riba, when does riba apply, etc. You don't find them talking about, you know, all of the ayat and the ahadith, which, you know, are like warning signs to people, that which might move the heart and hopefully keep you away from riba. They don't talk about all of that. That same author, you will find, he has separate books dealing with, you know, lowering the gaze. He talks about the states of the heart. He talks about matters pertaining to those ayat which, you know, make you fear, those ayat which give you hope, those signs, etc. Separate discussion. It's like, you know, this author of the fiqh book is different from the author of the wa'az book and the reminder and the admonishment book. It seems that, but no, in reality, it's the same individual. But generally in the fiqh books, dry, and they keep out the wa'az, etc. Maybe they might mention certain of those masail, you know, as secondary issues, like lowering the gaze, super important, super, super important. Very rare will you find the scholars discussing this matter in books of fiqh. Very rare will you find them. For example, the penalty pertaining to zina, you won't find them discussing this. If you find, then you would find in the encyclopedic type of fiqh books, you know, they might discuss this. And even if they do, it's like a side matter. But the same scholar, he's got other books where maybe he has authored a specific book on this topic. And so it's important, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in our study of fiqh, etc. Yes, fiqh has its place, walhamdulillah. But we also join with that matters pertaining to the heart, seerah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, matters pertaining to tazkiyah. If you look at Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, Ihya Ulumuddin is very, very different from his books of fiqh, wasit, etc. You know, just like all other books of fiqh, you might even think, you know, is this the same author? Subhanallah. Here it was the cap of the jurist, whereas somewhere else it was the cap of the doctor of the heart, etc. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Important to take note of that matter. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hada was sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.